The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning. How are you?
Okay, tough. Howard, I know somebody else who seems to want to be wanted in our local environment at the moment. We'll talk a little bit about him in a short while, but actually more rocket fire, unfortunately, from Gaza last night. Two rockets fired, one intercepted by Iron Dome, one fell into an open area. So fortunately, no injuries, no damage caused. But also a very strange incident on the Egyptian border where a tank missile from Egypt actually landed in a kibbutz dining room and exploded there. Fortunately, nobody was injured. People were not there because the yeshiva, the yeshiva kids were out studying elsewhere. Seems to have been an accident. It's being investigated, but that was also a very, very strange incident. So,
what was interesting about that was how quickly Israel said, "No, we're sure it was an accident." Like they made sure that it was known that we're not taking this one particularly seriously.
Right. Exactly. And I think obviously there's a lot of intelligence that goes on around the notifications about what's going on.
Right.
We haven't heard much about who is believed to have been responsible for the rocket fire from Gaza last night, but everything seems to be relatively calm this morning. Everything is, you know, as usual in terms of daily activities and things like that. But obviously, still a lot of nervous tension around that area.
Absolutely. All right. Tell us what's going on with the man who wants to be wanted, Prime Minister Netanyahu, continuing to fight for his political life.
He absolutely is. And there was this demonstration in favor of Netanyahu, in support of Netanyahu last night. About 8,000 people turned up in the area, which is where the Tel Aviv Museum is in the central part of Tel Aviv. Lots and lots of emotion, huge amounts of emotion coming out. And it's kind of worth just thinking a little bit more about what's lying behind all of this and what this means for our society, because effectively what we're seeing here is the Netanyahu camp, Netanyahu himself and members of the Likud and those people who are supporting him really coming out criticizing our justice system, criticizing the fact that he's been indicted, criticizing the individuals concerned, and effectively bringing into question Israel's judicial system in general. And that's very ironic coming from people who are really in charge of it. I mean, these are government ministers. This is the prime minister whose job it is, amongst other things, to run our judicial system. And that's one of their responsibilities. So it's ironic to hear this massive amounts of criticism being directed towards members of the judiciary, the prosecutor's office, the attorney general, and others who've been responsible for considering these indictments. And I think it's very, very unfortunate that we are now in a situation where our leadership is really calling into question our judiciary and, in effect, calling into question our democracy, because the judiciary is such an important part of our democracy. And it's the right thing that they should, if necessary, turn and point fingers at our leadership if they need to be pulled into line. So I think that this, blanket criticism that we're seeing across all spheres of our society, from the leadership all the way down to the man in the street, I think is really unwelcome, and I think is really not a good thing. And I think our leadership really needs to give some consideration to what this potentially means going forward in terms of how Israel's judiciary will be viewed by the general public. We can't afford to get into a situation of anarchy where the judiciary have lost control. That would be a terrible situation. So this is certainly a concerning development for me, and I didn't like very much the way that elected officials and appointed officials have been criticized because of the fact that they've indicted the prime minister.
Yeah, and it certainly doesn't do a case any good, does it? It doesn't do PR good. It doesn't do image any good to take aim at a judicial system that needs to be independent. It has to be independent any democracy to survive and to thrive.
I think that it's very, very unhealthy and welcome. And, you know, there've been a lot of interesting assessments and developments and comments made. Kahol Levan, for example, have really hardened their position in the expectation of another round of elections, saying under no circumstances will they sit in a government with an individual who has been indicted. So this is clear now, whereas before they said if the indictment comes, they will then seek for his resignation and things like that. Now they're saying under no circumstances, really hardening their position, which I think is an interesting statement. The other thing which has been of some interest to me is a little newspaper article that I saw somewhere which said that a group of rabbis have come forward suggesting that they might wish to, that the, that, Israel may wish to enter into some sort of an arrangement with Prime Minister Netanyahu, whereby he leaves the stage without any indictment. And the compromise is that he won't be indicted so long as he agrees to resign and just move backstage and allow things to continue. I think it's an interesting proposal. Of course, it's got a lot of problems because if a person has committed acts which are against the law, then of course they should face the full brunt of what the law allows the prosecution to proceed against them with. But in order just to allow us to move on and to allow us to have a government and to allow the country to move on, some sort of a compromise may well be in place here just to smooth the way for whatever needs
although,
to come next.
Although doesn't that kind of an approach add fuel to the fire or to the argument certainly that says, well, actually this is all political. So, you know, all of these charges are there and okay, but if you step aside, maybe we'll do a deal and drop the charges. That, it does kind of, smack strategy.
It certainly has issues attached to it. But the problem for me is that, the battle that's going on, the fight back, the very, vociferous fight back that's coming from the Netanyahu camp, I think is just not healthy. I think it's not doing anything for our society. I think it's not doing anything for our political system. And I think that it's potentially very negative in terms of trying to form a government. We might have to go to elections very soon once again. And I think it just brings a whole new dimension to the attempt that we're making right now just to move forward. And I think it's extremely problematic. I'd hoped that the Netanyahu camp would see sense and they would say, look, you know, we've got this legal battle to fight, and no matter whether I'm guilty or I'm not guilty. And by the way, there is a strong argument that says, why should a person be forced to step down from his position when guilt has not been proved? He's innocent until proven guilty. I mean, that is, you know, the basic tenet of the law. And until such time as, you know, this can be proved beyond a reasonable doubt, he will be innocent, and therefore he should be entitled to conduct his life as an innocent man. There is a very strong argument that supports that. I just think that it's unhealthy for our government and, you know, not to cast any aspersions on him or his innocence or his guilt, just to allow him to fight his case and to allow us to move forward.
Absolutely. The Bank of Israel was forced to intervene to prevent the shekel from strengthening any further. Tell us about this.
Well, the shekel has just continued to strengthen. Ironically, with all the political troubles that are going on in the background and all the things that you think would potentially weaken our currency, none of that. I mean, the shekel currently is trading in the area of around 3.45 shekels to the dollar, which is an incredibly strong currency. And as I've discussed on a few occasions before, has major impact on our economy because our imports have become so expensive for the outside world to buy that it's really having a negative effect on Israel's ability to sell goods and services to the outside world. And the Bank of Israel Monetary Committee met recently and surprised everybody by leaving the current interest rate unchanged at 0.25%. And the expectation was that the interest rate would actually be reduced, would you believe? There's not much nowhere really to go. But there was an expectation that the interest rate would be cut to 0.1% as a result of a few economic issues that have come together. The inflation rate has declined. The shekel has strengthened really unbelievably. There have been quite high growth figures. And Israel at the moment is enjoying a 40-year low in unemployment numbers, which is also an astonishing statistic. So with all of that together, the Bank of Israel Monetary Committee decided to leave the interest rates as they were. And the Bank of Israel then had to intervene in the foreign currency market in order to try somehow to weaken the shekel. And they were buying dollars, selling shekels, quite significant amounts. They don't say exactly how much. And this is the first time that there's been this level of intervention during the tenet of our new governor of the Bank of Israel. But be that as it may, it doesn't seem to really have had much effect, because in fact the shekel still is trading around that 345, 346 area, and it doesn't seem to show any signs of weakening anytime soon. So unfortunately, for those people who wish to visit Israel in the near future, you're going to have to unfortunately have to contemplate the prices that will be so much higher than have been in the case in previous times, simply because of the fact that our shekel is so strong, and when you come with foreign currency to Israel, that you don't get half as much bang for your buck as you used to when the currency was weaker. I mean, it's really made Israel a very, very expensive destination to visit.
Absolutely right. All right, so tell us about this Ethiopian holiday. How do you pronounce it? Sigd.
Sigd. Sigd. Right. Today is Sigd, and Sigd is a holiday that's celebrated by the Ethiopian Jewish community. And apparently the name of the holiday, Sigd, is derived from a word for prostration, skida, which is in Hebrew, a Hebrew word actually. Right. And apparently this is the day that the Ethiopian community have traditionally celebrated the community introspection, as opposed to the individual introspection, which traditionally takes place on Yom Kippur. And Sigd is exactly 50 days after Yom Kippur, in the same way as Shavuot falls exactly 50 days after the end of Pesach, after the beginning of Pesach. So there is a definite tie-in to the calendar and to other parts of our calendar. And it's traditional on this day for the Ethiopian community to come together, to go to Jerusalem, to pray for their return to Zion, which of course many of them have now managed to achieve. So it's taken on a slightly different complexity since so many of them have made Aliyah to Israel. In those days when they were in Ethiopia, they would traditionally prostrate themselves. They would pray for community introspection and for healing of community issues. And they would also pray for their return to Zion, which they've now, many of them have managed to achieve. So they would, today is a day that they traditionally gather in Jerusalem. It is a fast day until late in the afternoon. They will go to the Kotel, and then traditionally they gather in other parts of Jerusalem, especially on the Amon HaNatziv promenade, where they have some sort of an event, a party. Many senior politicians will be visiting in order to be seen there. Of course, the Kesim, traditional leaders of the Ethiopian community, will be there. They will carry their multicolored umbrellas, which is very traditional for them. They will carry Torah scrolls. They will read from the Torah. They will pray. And there will just generally be a coming together of the Ethiopian community in Israel. Sigd is actually an official holiday day in Israel, which doesn't mean that everybody takes the day off or that schools are closed. But for those people who want to take the day off, they're entitled to do so without having to suffer from pay deductions. They're entitled to take a day, a leave day, with and get full pay as well for those people who celebrate this. And so it's just an interesting evidence of different cultures of Jews coming together and bringing with them their own traditions and their own ways of celebrating the religion. Sigd has really taken grip, and people are very familiar with it in Israel in terms of the tradition and the celebration.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, is how well known is it amongst Israelis? Has it become part of a cultural knowledge of the day?
Well, I mean, for example, you know, we often think about Mimuna as a day that, for example, we as Ashkenazim Jews who have come from South Africa, and before that from Lithuania or Poland or wherever our families have come from. Mimuna is not a day that we're familiar with. It's a day after Pesach. It's mostly celebrated by Moroccan Jews. It's been very, very commonly accepted. And even people who are not from Moroccan extract would go and celebrate Mimuna, and they would eat the traditional foods, moufletot or whatever the traditional sweet things are that they eat on Mimuna. Sigd is kind of less well known. And of course, less widely celebrated as well. It's fairly limited to the Ethiopian community. But of course, with the writings and the pictures and the TV shows and things like that, people get to see it and people do get to learn about it. And it is something that is known in Israel, even though, of course, we're all going to work as usual today, at least those of us who are not from the Ethiopian community. So it's just an interesting, different aspect of culture that Jews from around the world have brought to Israel, and I enjoy it very much. I think it's a great thing to take on board.
Absolutely. I think that is absolutely awesome. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow.